When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies back with you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, you can listen to us on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You want to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, November 11th. Happy Veterans Day. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop.
Yep, happy Vets Day, man. It's all those people are much more courageous than us.
Johnny Cakes Auville's here.
Yes, I echo your sentiments. Happy Veterans Day to all who have served.
Eric Bickle's here.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Yeah, you know, it's one of the things. I grew up in a family that my dad never really talked about it, but the U.S. Army changed his life. He came to this country with nothing. Ultimately, was served in the military. GI Bill led him to college and ultimately got a master's degree from Johns Hopkins. And a lot of that is all because of the military.
Yeah.
Happy Veterans Day.
My grandfather was a captain in the Army and served in World War II. He actually met my grandmother over in Italy when he was serving over there. My grandmother was a nurse. And they met over there and they got married and they met. And 6 months later, got married.
Nice.
Whirlwind romance.
He wanted to hit that skin.
A whirlwind romance.
Yeah. It was. And yes, happy Vets Day to all that served and currently serve.
Mm-hmm. Cakes' pops was in the Navy. I don't feel like he talked about it that much.
I didn't talk about it a lot. He did talk about a harrowing experience where his plane almost crashed. Yeah. Like, that was the one.
He never really liked to fly after that, right?
Terrified of flying.
Yeah.
Big time terrified of flying.
Right. Well, throws you too. I know that the Navy has airplanes, but growing up as a kid, you think Navy, that's boats.
Usually, yes.
Right.
But I think we all learned in Top Gun that those are naval aviators. Right. Tom Cruise, a naval pilot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you have it. You
got to have air support.
Everything I learn is from movies, for the most part.
Right.
TV.
Right.
Not a lot of books being consumed over here.
Anyway, happy Veterans Day.
Yes.
We're here because we felt like we should do the show after a big Commanders game, and it is a big week for them. Commanders come up short, close game, 28-27. There are so many big plays in that game, but obviously, the spot is the biggest play that people are going to talk about. The fourth down, the first fourth down that they don't convert, pass to Zach Ertz, and he gets spotted just a little bit short. Like, I don't know. I mean, initially when I saw it, I thought it was probably a first down.
I think you're with most people. They saw where he was on the field, at least from the camera angle, and it appeared if he wasn't there, he was super close to it. But the refs, by the way, they couldn't wait to just point the other direction and just call it against the Commanders, like with the quickness.
Well, I can tell you this. So thank you to Jason Wright. I was in the president's suite, which is an unbelievable spot.
I'm sure it is.
The food was amazing. And earlier in the game, I remember me and my buddy Matt, one of our buddies that we grew up with, There was one just innocent play during the game, but it was like a 7 or 8 yard pass. And I noticed, I mean, the way that they spot in the NFL, it's the most inexact science.
It's archaic.
Like the two referees that spotted it were like 8 yards behind the ball. And then they just ran out there and they're like 17 yard line.
I don't understand. Mm-hmm. We have chain gangs. We have old guys spotting balls. I mean, there just has to be a better way. I know there's a better way. It just hasn't been implemented yet.
I thought it was a first down as well, but Zach Ertz does. I mean, he's a veteran. He's got to know. He's got to get past that line.
Right.
He just does. It's on a fourth and nine.
He kind of was past it, but then he came
forward.
But then
he came back. Yeah. I mean, he's just got to know where he is.
Too close.
I mean, easier said than done, I'm sure. Yeah. But he's just got to know exactly where he is on a fourth and nine.
He's also the king of not getting yak. And then look, that pass, he wasn't really going to get a lot of yak after that, but... That just kind of goes to his skill set at this point. Like, and then, where he catches the ball,
that's where he goes.
That's basically where he's going to land.
I mean, again, there's so many plays you talk about. And then the way the game ends, again, my buddy Matt sitting right next to me, and he goes,
"They're not
Russell Wilson's going to try and draw him offside."
Of course, everyone knew it. Everyone, except for Johnny Newton.
Well, just a rookie
I'm sure
mistake.
Johnny Newton knew it, but he was just overzealous trying to make a play, and, you know, he jumped.
Well, Bobby Wagner should have taken all those guys in the huddle and went, "They're not going to run the play."
Right.
There's no chance they're going to run this play.
Yeah, I bet he knew that. He just still jumped.
Just instinctive?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kind of instinctive.
I don't know. With Tomlin, I think there was a chance that they run the
ball. There was a chance.
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought 0% chance.
They're not going to possibly give Washington the ball up one at the 50.
No.
I mean, there's no way.
They're clearly there to try to draw them offsides. And 99% of the time, that play just doesn't work. Because the defense is disciplined, and they sit there and they wait for the quarterback to bark it out, and then they punt.
Yeah.
Usually. That's usually the way it goes down.
Well, it was, I could say, as a Skins fan, I wonder how Cakes feels today. First of all, how do you feel?
For being a Skins fan.
Yeah.
How do I feel overall?
Yeah, to not break his heart.
I mean, I feel okay.
Yeah.
I feel okay because... The Commanders were right there with a team that everybody was like, how are they going to hang with the Steelers? How are they going to hang with this juggernaut known as the Steelers? Well, they were right there at the end.
Like, they're for real.
I don't put the Steelers in the same category as the Ravens. I feel like the Ravens are just
they're very good.
They're a good team.
They're very good.
They're not great.
I think you have the correct response as a Skins fan because I think you're basically a Skins fan.
I'm not devastated because they were right there.
Yeah. We played kind of a sloppy game, but all credit to them. It was all their pressure and everything. Mm. They created a lot of it.
Generally agree, but the Oz fielding punts, that wasn't pressure created by them. That was just
a mistake.
Self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah, I don't think the Steelers created that much pressure on Jaden.
Oh, I think they did.
Oh, yeah, they did.
I thought Washington did a great job on T.J. Watt. I mean, Hayward was good, the guys in the middle,
they did a pretty damn good job. They didn't necessarily hit him. They were in his face. He had to get rid of the ball a little quicker.
Yeah, they definitely sped things up. His yards per attempt were way low.
Yeah.
And he didn't run. They didn't allow him to run.
Right.
Yeah.
The Steelers had everything to do with that.
They did great. The Steelers, you know, hats off to them.
In those other games, Jaden had so much time to throw.
Yeah.
He was back there for 4 seconds.
He was hurried. And, you know, just had so many drops. It was just one of those games that, damn.
And he was a little off, too. Because there were a couple times, like,
but I think it was
could have had a big play to Luke McCaffrey, kind of, you know.
He let him.
The one he had to McCaffrey on, no one's talking about, was the hardest, one of the best throws I've seen all year from Jaden. He's rolling left. He fires it 35, 40 yards. It was by far his biggest throw, I thought, just in terms of the arm strength, and McCaffrey didn't come down with it.
Yeah.
Didn't
the DB get his hand
DB
in there?
Yeah, the DB was right there.
The DB got his hand in there.
Yeah, but I mean, I was just blown away by the throw. I was like, wow, you can't tell me that guy's really hurt. That was a freaking missile.
No, he was throwing lasers.
Yeah, whatever.
There were a couple times where I thought he threw lasers when he could have thrown touch passes.
Yeah, maybe. It was a tough game. It was a tough game for him, but I thought he was overall fine. And I mean, he's definitely good enough to win.
Deami Brown. I mean, Deami Brown, you get so few opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you can't drop the ball when you're wide open in the end zone.
It's terrible.
It's right on both of your hands.
I mean, everybody had a part of it. I mean, Noah Brown dropped a couple. I thought Luke dropped one
Ertz
at least. Ertz dropped a couple.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, but the worst drop pass of the day was on the fake punt by the Steelers.
Yes.
That was unbelievable.
I disagree.
That was a fake.
Deami was from 4 yards away, and he was wide open. Like, he's wide open.
Yeah. But he actually threw harder. My point is the Steelers guy. All right. Yeah, he was never caught a ball in the NFL.
Right. That's part of it.
Okay. But that ball was lobbed up to him.
And he has a non-quarterback throwing him the ball.
It doesn't matter.
The ball was delivered
well. The ball was lobbed up to him like you would throw to a 5-year-old.
Kicks. They practice that play. He catches him in practice, I guarantee you.
I know.
Because if he didn't, he wouldn't be out there. He just
dropped it. But during the heat of a real game, he flubbed it.
And if he catches it, he goes for like 40 yards. There's nobody around him.
It was a ballsy call.
Your boy Danny Smith was Rick.
Yes, he was.
I couldn't believe they called that deep in Commander's territory.
Well, they almost had to. No one was guarding him. I almost wondered if they just called it at the line of scrimmage because nobody was guarding the guy.
No, you're right. Why weren't they?
To me, that was the worst drop of the game. Just in terms of
that's the second worst drop.
I'm not saying
I think they were equal.
No,
I think they were equal.
Diami's pass was actually thrown hard. He should catch it 100 times out of 100.
Of course he should.
But the throw from the punter, or the snapper, whoever it was that threw it
was like the up back.
Yes. That ball was lobbed like you throw to a 5-year-old.
Yeah. That's what happens when you have non-wideouts trying to catch balls.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I don't even know who the guy is.
I don't even know who flubbed the ball.
Yeah, I don't even know who the guy is.
He's a DB.
Is he? Yeah.
I mean, those guys should have good hands. If you're defensive back, your hands
should be decent. They gave us one. We gave them one. Right. I mean, to me, it's kind of equal. You know, hats off to them. They get the W. I don't know how I feel about the spot. I thought it was a little short, the spot. But he may not have gotten there because he did come back. We kind of gave up a little of his yardage.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Wrong side of it.
If I'm DQ and whoever the special teams coach is, I'm having open auditions for punt returners.
Izzo, right? Izzo.
Well, Izzo, yeah.
Isn't Crowder still on the roster? Like, why is Crowder not back?
I don't know. I know it's a short week, and that's a radical change to make when you have another game in 4 days. But I would seriously consider not having odds on punt returns.
I might just chalk it up because I think that's the first time he's really done that. He did it twice yesterday. I think it's the first time he's really done that this year. Quinn said afterwards, and I know Quinn likes him because he's worked with him in the past, that he works very hard on
it. I'm sure he does, but those are huge game-changing
plays. Crowder's
got
an injury, I think.
Does he? Okay.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
When he fumbled, like you could see it from where I was. I mean, it was a high punt.
They both are the same.
Knuckled.
They hit him on the friggin' face
mask. Find something you love more than Oz loves. Catching the ball on his face mask and then just rolling away from him.
Yeah.
Whatever. He loves to do that.
I thought there were some positives, a lot of positives that you can draw from that game. Like, we thought that Pittsburgh had a big advantage running the football. And though they did have 140 yards rushing, it was only 3.3 yards per carry. I don't know what Arthur Smith was doing. They ran that little pitch to the right. It never worked. Right. They ran it like 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, he gets horny.
He was committed to it, and I thought, me and my buddy were saying, well, at some point, maybe they're going to fake it and run a play. And they never did.
Yeah.
They're running that play
again. He's pretty good at coaching up running.
Think about when you love, like, chocolate, right? You like all things sweet. Sure. You have a sweet tooth. That's what Arthur Smith thinks about running the football. He's just relentless.
Yeah, but it was good for them because they had the ball for 36, 37 minutes.
It worked.
Yes.
So it totally worked.
I'm just saying that the defensive line, which we've questioned a lot this year, they actually did a pretty good job stopping the run. Now, Thursday, they're going to have even bigger tests against the Eagles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's no turnaround
also,
time.
Also, by the way, a revelation to me was 64, Sheldon Day. He was making plays, our big tackle, defensive tackle, who I think they called up from the practice squad or whatever in the last couple weeks. I thought he was huge.
He ended up with eight total tackles.
He had a bunch of plays. He was all over the place. Dante Fowler's playing great.
Fowler had a great game.
I don't know what happened on St. Jude's. He just got run by.
He just got beat.
I guess he was, I bet he was leaning the wrong way because it's crazy to get run by that much.
Right. Lattimore.
He did a little hesitation.
I don't think Lattimore gets beat like that.
Yeah, I think Lattimore, help is on the way.
They need him desperately Thursday.
But it sucks. We're going to play a good Eagles team, very likely have same result, who knows, 50-50 game, I think. Could go either way. But, you know, we're fortunate because I think the schedule is, you know, it's not devastating, and I still think we should get to 10 or 11 wins.
This is the big one.
Like
I said a few times last week, yes, it's a big game just because every game counts in the overall record. But if you beat the Steelers, you're right back to where you were before this game started.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, beat the Eagles. Yes, so that's why. But it's a short week. You know, you only get 3 days off, and we'll see if Lattimore is available. But you're right because after the Eagle game, I mean, the Cowboy and Titan game, home games to me, are, I mean, they're certainly must wins,
right?
But they're almost,
they should,
they're
be
almost locked.
They should be good.
I mean, Eric, they're almost locked.
There's nothing locked, but they should be.
I know,
fine.
It's the NFL, anything can happen.
They should sack,
but it's almost locked.
They should sack Will Levis a half dozen times in that game. I don't know. That's an outrageous number.
I mean, like, the Cowboys are Dunsky. The Titans
Cooper
are terrible.
Rush or Trey Lance, pick your poison.
Yeah,
the way the schedule plays out, they should be able to get to 10 or 11. And,
yes, I agree.
You know, whatever that gets them, fine. It's all gravy. Yeah.
We're going to be talking about throughout the show. It is a Misery Monday brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace.
We haven't said that in a while.
MIOS.com. Yeah, it's been a while. We'll take your calls next, your reactions, your takeaways from the game. 800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also text us on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Same number, standard message and data charges may apply. You can always hit us up on social media at Junks Radio. We'll be right back.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 on a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Opening up the phone lines now at 800-636-1067. Your reaction to the Commanders falling to the Steelers 28-27. One thing which you didn't mention in the first segment. So I went to the game. Mm-hmm. Once again, thank you to Jason Wright for setting everything up.
How close did you park to the stadium?
Pretty close. No, not quite that close.
Yeah.
But it didn't have that parking underneath the...
Yeah, it was underneath that.
That thing. Yeah,
it was underneath that.
Very good.
You know what's deceiving about the parking?
Mm.
It said... On my parking pass,
yeah,
row 7.
Okay,
and it gave me some sort of space number.
Yeah.
There are no space numbers or rows.
Free for all. Yeah,
it's
fine.
Total free
that's
for
okay.
all.
No worries.
I actually asked the guy. I was like, "Where's row 7?" And he goes, "He looked at me dumbfounded. He's like, just head over there."
Yeah, he just said, "Look at this rookie asking me where the spot is."
And some things are improved with the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But man, getting into the stadium to park.
Yeah.
Like my buddy took the Metro and had to walk and left about the same time. And I was like, man, maybe I should have just done the Metro. Now, from where I live, I would have changed lines and been total pain in the neck. But man, that last like 20 to 30 minutes, which is like a half mile.
Mm-hmm.
It took 20 to 30 minutes to go a half mile.
Yeah.
It's just the massive amount of cars. But what I wanted to say is, and I think it will change in time. But at least right now, it hasn't changed. There were more Steelers fans.
Well,
I mean, it was outrageous. I know they tried to do the burgundy towels, and I actually have a burgundy towel.
Yeah.
It was It was outrageous.
A lot of the crowd shots that I saw, a lot of terrible towels were being waved. No, so, yeah, that makes sense.
I had two buddies that I went to see during the game, and I left at halftime, and one of them was in section 103, my friend Greg, and that section seemed to be, I'll say 50-50. Mm-hmm. That was on the commander side. But my other buddy, Ryan, was on the other side on, like, section 119. I walked over there. I mean, you would have thought you were in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Well, you could tell on the broadcast. First of all, you could see all the yellow towels, and then you could also hear just the cheering whenever they would score.
There were loud cheers, I think, when Washington did stuff. Like, I think it was different than a couple of years ago. I went to two games. All right. Went to a game when Valdez and Drab were there against the Vikings, and there were a lot of Vikings fans at that game. It was much louder and raucous from the Washington side than I remember. But there was equal, if not louder, raucous Steelers
fans. The fact
is,
it was like it was at a neutral field. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. Yeah. It felt like a neutral field game.
That's kind of surprising to me.
Maybe.
I think it's just going to take time.
Well, just consider this season they're having. It's kind of surprising to me.
Maybe they got the tickets, a lot of them, before. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows?
Could have been. When they saw Commanders on the schedule, they're like, oh, that's a quick road trip.
Yeah, or 3 hours
a lot of
away.
Steelers fans just live in this area.
Well, a lot of them went to the Pens game the night before, right?
That's right, Friday night.
So, like, a lot of the Steelers fan base probably planned, hey, this is a perfect weekend to come to Washington.
Double dip.
Do the double dip. Got the Pens game and then the Steelers game.
Oh, I don't know
that it was a factor, but I remember on the last couple of plays, it was like a road game for Jaden Daniels to call the play and communicate to
his own players.
It
impacted him at some point.
Third and 10 and fourth and 9, fourth and 10, whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, you could see that there were a ton of yellow. The burgundy towels. Did they pass out their own burgundy towels?
So in the presidential suite, there were burgundy towels, but I heard other people saying that were in the regular seats that maybe they didn't have them. So
yeah.
I don't know. They were sponsored by Verizon. I don't know how many towels Verizon made. Right. When I did my appearance at the Verizon store on Friday, actually, there were towels.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it was definitely annoying, but what are you going to do?
Yep.
Nothing you can do.
I think
it'll take a couple years.
I think it will change because I do think the fan base has reignited. Jaden Daniels has brought hope to this organization, new owner. All of that stuff is trending in the right direction. Just with the Steelers fan base, hard to beat that.
They've built it. They've built it over the years.
That's not exclusive just to Northwest Stadium. They show up at a lot of road venues.
I do want to zone on one Steelers fan. When I was leaving, there's this guy. He had a mullet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to be a Steelers fan, it's fine.
Yeah.
But a Mitch Trubisky jersey.
Yeah, it's a jersey foul. That's a bad jersey choice by you.
He had a Trubisky.
You can't wear a Trubisky. That's freaking embarrassing. Well, that's just awful. What would the Commanders equivalent be of wearing? That'd be like, I guess, wearing like a Chase Young jersey around. I guess some people still do that.
I think Chase made a big play yesterday. Maybe it would be like a Wentz. Like, think of a guy who ended up being a backup quarterback.
Yeah, that wouldn't be great.
Who was just barely there.
Probably Case Keenum. Whatever.
Yeah.
We got plenty of those. We got 100 of those guys you could choose from.
Well, I'll say this. The team store, it's popping. Like, a lot of people are going in there, getting their Jaden jerseys, getting Commanders hats. I mean, we're seeing more and more of that. It's just the Steelers fan base is tough to overcome.
For sure. I'm driving this morning, and Carlos is hooting and hollering from the garage.
Yeah.
Already. You know, I'm not even in the building yet.
Well, he told me on Friday he couldn't lose. He goes, it's like having two kids.
He likes both teams.
Yeah,
but he abandoned the Skins for the Steelers.
I know, but he's back on, I think.
Yeah,
a little bit.
He told me it's like having two kids. Can't root for one or the other.
He was definitely rooting for the Steelers.
Speaking of not losing, I felt like I couldn't lose with my Falcons bet, and I owe Jason now $14.
What was your Falcons bet?
I thought the Falcons would beat the Saints, the dead Saints who fired their coach. I forgot about the dead cat bounce that every team gets once they fire their coach and they put in the new guy.
Well, also, remember Cake said last week, he said, put your entire 401k on the Falcons. It's a lock. And I said, all right, I'm fading you.
You faded me.
Let's also, bet. Two things in that game. Their kicker missed, I believe, 3 field goals.
Right.
Or maybe even 4.
Mm-hmm.
And Kirk Cousins did that thing which he did in the playoffs a couple years ago. So it's 4th and seven or eight.
He threw it six
yards.
He threw
a 2 yard pass.
Yeah. My guy Kirk
threw a
2 yard
pass. You know what? What are you doing?
I'm going to send a Venmo request to Kirk Cousins for $14. He basically owes me. I mean, he's my birthday compatriot, August 19th. That's my guy. He let me down yesterday.
Back to the game, though. It was a game which could have gone either way, for sure. You look at some of the overall numbers. The Steelers had 312 yards. Washington only amassed 242 yards. So that's far below their typical offensive output.
Yeah, but we got 27 on a team that normally gives up 15. Less than 15.
And part
15.
Of that is due to the buffoonery of the fake punt.
Yeah.
Which just put Washington, what, on the 20?
Yeah, it was a gift.
It was a gift.
But they took advantage of it.
Too.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, that was a wash.
Yeah.
But it's a different game in that Trustway punted six times. I mean, there were games earlier this year where Trustway wasn't getting on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there were six punts, but there was five by the Steelers.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a punt fest for a while. It was a three and out fest.
I just wouldn't.
They played a good team
and lost by a point. We didn't play our best game. They played well. Hats off to them.
I don't think they played great.
I wouldn't read too much into it.
Russell Wilson does throw a nice deep ball, and he gives his receivers a chance. Like, Pickens made an unbelievable catch.
Oh, great acrobatic catch.
It wasn't, it was thrown to the inside, wasn't where you think you'd throw it to.
His body control on that was crazy.
As great as he is.
Pickens is a punk.
He's a clown. As great as he is, he's one of the biggest clowns in the league. You know you can get under his skin. He tried that wacky move where he jumped in the air and tried to hurdle somebody. Then he was face masking. I don't understand.
No call.
How is that not a call? He's clearly manipulating his face mask with his hand. You can call face masking on an offensive player. I don't think he grabbed it, but he pushed it up.
Yeah.
He was pushing it, but then his fingers were curled into the mask. That should have been a penalty.
Yeah.
He's a clown. He's always flexing when he makes a first down. Like, I don't know.
He's good, but you know what he is?
He's a handful.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Diva wide receiver personified.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and then when he doesn't get a ball. So I didn't think Russell Wilson played particularly great, although he ended up with three interceptions because
three touchdowns.
There were a couple of times where he had guys wide open, including Pickens. Mm-hmm. He had one. I mean, the great thing about the president's suite being overhead is you see everything.
Sure.
And Pickens was in the back of the end zone on one pass where Russell Wilson rolled left and he threw to an underneath receiver. Pickens was just standing there, like nobody within 10 yards of him in the back of the end zone.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson
missed him.
He missed him, but he wasn't open for like seconds. He was open like that because those guys were converting on the whatever receiver that Wilson was throwing to.
Right.
Yeah, but he wasn't open that long.
He wasn't great, but he was big when he needed to.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what the event does.
The throw to Mike Williams was
beautiful. Was a great throw.
But that was St. Juice getting beat. And, I don't think that Lattimore gets beat like that.
Probably not.
Let's hope he plays on Thursday.
I don't think he will. I think they're going to probably wait. I just don't think they're going to rush him back. I think they're going to wait one more week, and then he has the rest of the season, right? Because then he'll have like 10 more days to rest it.
Yeah.
Unless he's perfect.
If he's ready to go, I think they're going to put him.
If he's borderline, let me look.
If he's borderline,
they had like Wiley was borderline. They didn't play him.
B-Rob,
they haven't played him. They haven't pushed him.
Yeah.
The only one you could maybe argue they pushed was Jaden, but Jaden like didn't miss a beat.
Well, I think they realize if St. Juice is on A.J. Brown, it's not going to turn out good for them.
It might not, but it's okay. Because you have other games. They're going to try to win. I think we can win. But if we lose, it's not the end of the world. I know people, it is amazing how beaten down the fan base is. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell if they're just beaten down Commanders fans or they're just, like Cowboy fans or Steelers fans that like to beat up on us. But my Twitter feed was unbelievable of everybody just saying, oh, Jaden stinks, or now he's coming back to earth,
right,
or the team is awful. They only lose to good teams, and you're right. We look, the better teams we've lost to, but that game could have gone either way. I didn't feel too horrible about it, other than it just sucks to lose.
It felt like a playoff game, totally.
And I think next week, I think Thursday night, I'll feel the same way. I feel like a playoff game.
It's a big one.
I'd like to win. But I'm not going to kill, and I'm not going to be devastated if we lose.
No, I mean, it's week 11. It's a division game. It's the team that you're battling for the division.
And I know they only look at the next game, but I'm sure the staff has mapped out before the bye. And you mentioned it. Those two home games, the Cowboys look completely dead and lost, obviously.
Those are must wins Rush. And should wins.
You know,
and then the Titans, like, you should beat both of those teams. Oh, I've already
given up on him, right?
I've resigned myself to the fact that my Trey Lance bags are worth they're bags of lint at this point. They're virtually worthless.
All right, let's go to the phones. Your reaction, 800-636-1067. Commanders fall 28-27 to the Pittsburgh Steelers at home.
All right, let's go to Eric in D.C. I don't know, people working today?
Not many.
Out there? I know my daughter has school. I guess it's private school. Do public school, are they closed? Or what's the deal with public school?
So. People aren't working, but there were still traffic fiascos on the way into work.
That's crazy.
It was a little drizzle.
No. I'm talking about like accidents. Like full lane shut down. Like the BW Parkway shut down.
Eric, what's up, buddy? Parkway You're on the jumps.
Yeah. What's going on? What's going on with y'all this morning?
Speak up, buddy.
Take us off your speaker or Bluetooth.
Phone stinks.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, cool. Actually, I'm still happy with the team. The funny thing is, Jaden plays so good that fans forget that we still have a rookie quarterback. So when they say, "Well, we losing to the best team," he's a rookie, but he outplayed being a rookie. So at the end of the day,
I thought he was fine. Happy. He wasn't at his best, but he was fine. He wasn't the reason why we lost.
I think if we had connected on that McCaffrey pass in the red zone going the opposite direction, we would have won the game. But I knew they was going to score because it just that lob that Russell Wilson was throwing out all game that he wasn't connecting on, but with George Pickens, I said, man, he's going to catch that. And so it's time to sit down, St. Jude.
Well, what are you going to do? You don't have anybody else. Yeah. You got four.
You
got to
play him now.
But they're not happy
until Lattimore's healthy.
Is done. But see, George, I mean, Mike Williams wasn't even the first. He's not even a lead receiver. He's like the third guy, and St. Jude got beat by him. So
yeah, he's pretty good, though.
It's time to – but he's been a bum. I mean, his best days probably was when he was playing with the Chargers. I mean, St. Jude is a bum. It's done. It's time to sit St. Jude.
I don't think they're going to sit him. I think he's just going to be the number two guy, which probably better suits him.
If Mike Williams has a skill set, it's – go routes and catching deep balls from like big play
receiver. That was a great catch.
It was a really good catch.
That was a great
perfectly
catch.
Placed ball by Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, just looking up like that.
I mean, it was a really good play.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't enamored with it. I guess
it was a great catch.
That offense
was a great throw too.
I mean, I just Pittsburgh. I just ran right by our guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not every receiver can catch those.
Yeah, that offense is interesting. Pittsburgh almost. Just from my view, they don't run any intermediate routes. It's like guys are running deep or they're really short.
Yeah, just feast or famine type deal.
Let's go, John.
I mean, how many shots did he take downfield? Because he hit the Pickens one, he hit the Williams one, but he probably threw about eight of them.
John, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing, man?
Hello. You're doing good.
Hey, you know, for all these Pittsburgh fans we're going to hear about today, Pittsburgh ain't that good. Washington gave that game away. We should have beat them. We should have put our foot on their neck and just destroyed them. But they kept letting them come back in the game. And that last call on that fourth down, the referees, they got to figure out something because you should have called that a first down and let the league off his chain because it was a first down. At that point, they come back and win the game anyway. We're not even having this conversation. They're a better team than you think, but Pittsburgh is not that good. That's all I got.
All right, thank you, John. I appreciate it.
I think if you look at the AFC,
I mean, they're 7-2. Yeah, they're pretty good.
The record is right there, but it feels like KC, Buffalo, and Baltimore are all better than Pittsburgh. Feels that way.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see. They're formidable. I mean, I don't think I would want to play Pittsburgh in the playoffs. You know what I mean? It's not like it's a walkover.
No, they're a well-coached team.
Yeah,
and they'll probably keep games close, but. I'm more impressed by those other teams. Now, KC, they just find a way to win. Yesterday, block a kick.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's just a layup field goal, and it gets blocked. I mean, I expect, like, 50-yarders to get blocked, but not...
A 35-yarder.
Yeah, I mean, a chip shot.
Like, all right, 800-636-1067. Taking your calls, obviously, throughout the show. Disappointing loss, but don't panic. Don't go crazy. Don't give up on the team. It's amazing the tweets that I've been getting over the last 24 hours. We'll bring out more of your calls when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back on a Misery Monday brought to you by Chenega Miles, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. I think when you lose the Steelers 28-27 in the past, we would have had a discussion if it's a moral victory. When you're 7-2, I don't think you have moral victories, but they weren't blown out. They easily could have won the game.
Well, they're 7-3 now.
I think that this team is beyond moral victories.
Yeah.
You know, when you're awful, you have moral victories. But we're a pretty good team. So
last year, that would have been a moral victory.
Maybe, yeah. But we lost.
But last year, they wouldn't have only lost by one.
Yeah. It is, whatever. We lost to a good team, I thought.
Yeah,
and we were right there. It's a shame. You could argue the spot. I'm not going to go crazy about it. I thought, clearly, by the way they spotted it, that we weren't going to get it in the review, because they're just going to say they go stick with the call in the field. You know, as soon as they went to the upstairs, I had a 1% chance.
They have to change the way they spot. These old guys.
I don't know what they can do.
These old guys,
the football, I guess.
These old referees are running 10 yards behind the play, and then they just.
I mean, I've been talking about it for a decade. Like, chipping up the ball, putting an electronic grid on every field. Like, it's doable. Mm-hmm. I just don't know why it's not happening yet.
Yep. I don't know.
It's moronic to have guys who are getting social security checks. Okay, and I'm not talking like the guys who are getting them an early dispersal, whatever that is, like 62, 63. I'm talking about the guys who are waiting till 70 plus to get their social security checks, the full benefit. Those are the guys out on the field spotting the football for the most part. And it's idiotic.
Hey, now, there was no guarantee that they would have still needed to get another 10 to 15 yards.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee they would have gotten in position for the 10 or 15 yards. And then there's no guarantee.
I would have bet on it, though.
That the kicker who they just called up.
He was pretty good.
Sure. And he's, you know.
There's no guarantees for anything.
I would have bet on them getting a decent attempt.
But they would have had a shot.
I would have bet on them getting a decent attempt.
I think they probably would have.
Who knows?
And it would have been a huge storyline one way or the other. The storyline would have been like, man, they called this guy up. And he delivered, or it would have been like, well, that's what happens when you don't even have your main kicker.
No, but my storyline was Adam Peters, he pulled a rabbit out of his ass having that guy available.
He just finds guys.
I think
guys.
That guy hadn't kicked in the league since 2021.
Yeah, they flashed that graphic. I was like, his last field goal attempt was 3 years ago?
Right.
Three?
Not good. But I was shocked that Seibert wasn't ready to go. Because
he's got a hurting hip.
We heard all
can't
week,
kick with a hip
he's
like
probably going to be fine. And I was just surprised when they announced he was
out. I can
out.
Attest to
it. He's got a beat-up hip.
Banged-up hips.
Could he kick a 30-yarder right now?
Probably not.
Seibert playing too much golf?
I don't know if that's the case. I don't know
Drabby,
if that's
what
going to
say.
Him.
You're going to say something.
I mean, Charles Davis did agree with the spot yesterday. I don't think it was like this egregious thing where it was kind of like a judgment call. I mean, Ertz caught the ball. His momentum took him back across. It's not like a touchdown. His momentum took him back across right at the line there. And
yeah, it is.
Couldn't
it is.
Exactly tell where his knee, where the ball was when his knee touched. So I don't know where the GPS thing, how that's all going to would factor into this. I mean, it's just a tough call. Sometimes they go against you. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah, I think the spot was probably a little short, but that doesn't mean that he for sure would have gotten it, even with the accurate spot.
The spot on the field by the refs was poor.
That's what I'm saying.
But when they went back and looked at it, I thought it was probably 50-50 fair, maybe short.
Yeah, it's fine.
It is what it is.
It shouldn't come down to that. We have plenty of other opportunities.
You know Jerry Sandusky, who does the Ravens games, the preseason games? He went on a whole diatribe he had to apologize for because he was talking about the chain gang.
Mm. Okay.
Cleve Blakeman will call out the sticks. Now, this is one of those things, as you look at the replay, think about this. We have the technology to put a GPS tracker on Mars, but we still use a bunch of older guys on the sideline with sticks to measure whether a ball carrier got a first down or not. Nothing against the older guys with sticks, but in an age of wild high-tech data metrics, they stretch out the sticks.
Is it short?
No, he made it.
He got it by half a football.
You shouldn't have to apologize for that.
It just seems absurd that in a game where they have GPS trackers on players' shoulder pads, they have 19 different levels of algorithms to measure everything in the NFL. We still use guys with glasses who are no longer what you'd call physically fit, trotting out a pair of sticks to measure first down.
And we saw the line judges.
He shouldn't have to apologize.
He's 1,000% right.
There's nothing wrong.
He should double down on his stance. shouldn't have to apologize for anybody.
He probably said
this weekend or
anything he
said.
Long time ago.
That was in the preseason, August 9th.
He shouldn't have to apologize.
He's
probably not, but correct.
It would have been fine if he didn't say, you know,
old guys
with glasses.
It also doesn't help that the camera has this pudgy, portly dude holding a first down marker running out on the field.
Look, most of the spots don't really matter. The only ones that really, really matter are the ones for first downs.
Right.
So, like, you know, when it's second and seven, if he gets it off by a foot or two, who really cares? I don't know.
It's a very inexact science. Yeah. But you were right when you said it doesn't come down to one play. The one play in the one spot is huge, but let's look at that set of downs. First and 10. They run a quarterback draw. Jaden had been controlled most of the game running. I don't think they ran him very often on designed runs. They really didn't run him to the outside.
Well, to be honest with you, the first play of that drive, where it looked like a designed run, they just got him by like a shoestring. He would have been gone. Like, you know, he got nothing.
Well, there was a couple other plays earlier in the game.
He would have been gone.
There was a couple other plays earlier in the game where he gave it to Eckler, and if he would have kept it, he would have had 30, 40 yards.
Looked like it. But so on that set of downs, they're at the 49-yard line. So you need 15 yards for a 53, 54-yard field goal. You need 20 yards for a more comfortable field goal. First and 10, they run Jaden Daniels up the middle. He gets one. Second and 9 at the 50, that was the first time I even noticed T.J. Watt, and I was, like, fixated on watching him. He got in Jaden's face. Incomplete pass because he hit him. Third and 9, incomplete pass, deep right to Noah Brown, and then you have the fourth down play. Like, it is way more than just the one play. The spot, of course, is controversial, but they just didn't execute like they had in previous games. And that's why when you look at the yardage total, look, it's a better defense. You punted 6 times. You didn't even have 300 yards of offense. Jaden, who earlier this year was having games where he's completing 90% of his passes, was 50%.
Yep. Yep.
And he did,
and he ran for 5 yards.
Yeah, ran for 5 yards. I expect an uptick in his rushing on Thursday night.
Yeah,
and I don't mean like 10 yards or 15 yards. I mean like 35, 40, 45. Like, I think the coaching staff realizes we can't have him rushing for just 5 yards per game. And part of that's the Steelers, part of this is the way the game unfolded, but I think he's going to be much more a thrust of the running
well,
game
I think
on
that,
Thursday
that,
night.
You got to give the Steelers credit. Their plan kept him in the pocket. They had like
they were very
five guys rushing all the time. I'm sure they had a spy on him the whole time.
On the other side of that Eagles game, and we're going to have plenty of time to talk about it, Jalen Hurts now has 10 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been on quite an uptick. In
now,
the
a lot of them are tush-push.
He had a couple of bad turnovers earlier in the game, but you're right. He's got... I think he's got 16 touchdowns and two turnovers in his last 6 games.
Right.
All right, real quick. I know we got John Keim coming up at 7. Let's see if we can do one or two of these. Let's go to Mike in La Plata. Mike, what's up, buddy? You on with the Junkies.
Yo, what's up, Junk?
Hey, hey buddy.
Ain't too much, bro. Happy Veterans Day to you guys.
Yes, everyone.
So I want to say the 3 factors, I think. The first one is the one he missed to Luke McCaffrey. I think if he'd have got that pass, we wouldn't even be talking about this. It'd be Victory Monday. B-Rob not playing really hurts us because we don't have that bruising back that will, you know, open up the play-action pass because they're not taking the other 3 back serious, you know what I mean? And then the last thing I would like to say, that rookie, he needs to bring he needs to do burpees from the time practice starts until the time practice is over.
Newton?
And until it throws up in his mouth, like Doc Walker said.
It felt bad. Like he was crying in the locker room.
Was he crying?
He was crying.
Oh, terrible.
It's just, dude, just feel bad for the kid.
The thing is, that guy's known for like his get-off.
Right.
He's known for his explosiveness. You know, he's a rookie. He just, you know.
He just made a mistake.
It's instinctive. Yep. Yeah. You know, he lured him. The guy's Wilson's a freaking 15-year veteran, whatever he is.
Yeah.
You know,
you just got to watch the ball, and if the ball doesn't move, you don't move.
Let's go to Jay, Indian Head. Last call here before the break. We got John Kime coming up here shortly. Jay, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? Happy Veterans Day, all the veterans out there. I support the veterans on the daily. Been supporting them for the last 10 years of, you know, my career. But, you know, to piggyback off the game, you know, I think we played a good game. Overall, just besides the drops, we need to be Rob, of course, but I think, you know, ultimately, you know, St. Juice has been in the league. This is 4th season now.
And I feel like this is his second coaching staff, his second defensive coordinator. He's still making rookie mistakes. For me, I play DB, you know, so I know you're supposed to watch the DB's waist. I mean, the receiver's waist and the receiver's eyes. When his eyes get big, that's when you look back and find the football. I never see him do that.
He never finds a football. That's for sure.
Your sideline is your best friend when you're playing DB. Yep. Inside out, outside in. You know, so I don't see him do that. So with us, you know, I don't know if it's him, if it's a confidence thing or a technical fundamental thing with him, but his confidence is shot. What I would do, I would use him on the blitz, bring him off the edge, bring his confidence back up, maybe even put him in some safety packages, kind of like what Kansas City did with Fuller when he left and came back to us when he was a slot corner his first time with us. But, you know, I just think that there's something that has to happen, because when we get Lattimore, he won't have any excuses on the opposite side. He has to hold his responsibility and his assignment down on the opposite side, because Lattimore's going to hold his down. So he has the resume for that. So we just need to make sure that we assure him on his side and maybe get him some assistance, more help on his side, so that way he can better perform for him in the coming games. Because Philly is definitely going to target him with A.J. Moore and Devontae Smith and all of that. So,
mm-hmm. Well,
thank you, Jay. Appreciate
the call,
buddy.
Sanders still is legit.
Say what?
Yeah. He's performing really well for a guy who was drafted.
He's their best corner.
Drafted to be a slot corner. He's playing on the outside, and he's holding his own.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
He's their best corner. So I don't know why you want to put St. Juste on a number two guy. St. Juste should be the number three guy.
Coming up next, John Keim, ESPN.com, Commanders Insider here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.